This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Toot that thing up, mommy. Make it roll. Once you pop, pop, lock it for me, girl. Get low. If your mama gave it to you, baby girl, let it show. Once you pop, lock and drop it for me, maybe we can roll. Oh, pop, lock and drop it. 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 That was Pop, Lock and Drop It, specifically the video edit by Huey. Mm-hmm. Wow, you're wondering, what year are we in that we're listening to Pop, Lock and Drop It? We are in the year 2007, and there is a lot going on, especially according to PopCultureMadness.com. For starters, it's the year Cupid Shuffle came out. I mean, huge. It was the first viral dance song since Cha-Cha Slide. Red Hot Chili Peppers sued Showtime over the show Californication. Mm. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I mean, now we know. And Paris Hilton spent 23 days in jail for a DUI.
I do remember that.
Britney Spears shaved off her hair.
Do remember that.
Lindsay Lohan went to rehab 3 times. Wow, this was really that kind of intense young girl, club girl kind of fall from grace, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
But I think what I really wanted to talk about was my favorite viral moment of 2007. Something that, you know, we don't talk about enough, one might say, which is a beloved quote from Miss South Carolina, Lauren Caitlin Upton. Mm. And it went as such. I personally believe the U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps. And I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq everywhere, like such as, and I believe they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa or should help the Iraq and the Asia countries so we will be able to build up our future for us. And where was my guest when that legend was saying that iconic quote? Who was our guest when that legend, Miss South Carolina, was saying that iconic quote? Why, we are none other than Carl Tart. And we are in Los Angeles, California in the year 2007. Carl!
Oh my gosh. This all takes me back. Your rendition of... your American Idol style rendition of
Thank
Pop,
you.
Lock, and Drop It.
Thank you.
First of all.
Thank you.
Which was, I believe, my senior year. The winner that year was like, was it Carrie Underwood or somebody?
I think Carrie Underwood was the Idol winner of that year.
Yeah.
I think. Wow. I think she was. So you went to high school in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Wow.
I went to Alexander Hamilton High School.
Alex
in
Ham.
West Los Angeles, California.
Wow. And you know what? I see whenever I have a Southern California guest on the show, I always am just like, was it like the high school in all of the high school movies that we were exposed to? Like, was everyone driving Jeep Wranglers? were your hallways outside? Were you wearing your fucking varsity, what is it called, Letterman jacket?
Yes. So, okay, I'll answer all three of those questions. So, okay. There were some Jeep Wranglers involved.
Okay.
The school that I went to is a very interesting school in Los Angeles. Okay. Like most public schools in LA, the disparity is obvious. Mm-hmm. So the school that I went to was a public school, but it had a performing arts magnet program.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you had to audition into the performing arts school.
Yes, you had to audition to get into the performing arts school. And there was a, you know, instrumental music focus, dance focus, drama and musical, like musical theater focus. Mm-hmm. And but it also was a public school. So there was gangs and, you know, fights and violence.
How big was your high school?
Huge. Whoa. I think when I went the first year, my freshman year, I think it was like 4,800 kids or something.
Whoa.
And a lot of kids get kicked out and have to go to other schools. Okay. What they call cap schools. So like the cap schools in our area, kids would get sent to Uni High School, which is University High School in deeper West LA, or Venice High School, where they shot Grease. Or like Westchester, Fairfax. Those are the schools that are kind of in the, and Westchester is kind of by the airport. Fairfax, you know, zone.
Yeah.
Melrose. And so, but yeah, our school was a pretty sought after school because of the magnet programs. The Music Academy wasn't just the only magnet program. There was a humanities magnet. There was a math, science, medical magnet. There was a bunch of different magnet programs. And it also was just a general, you know, high school, public school.
Were you in the magnet program?
I was in the Music Academy, yeah.
You were in the Music Academy?
Yeah.
What did you have to do to test in?
I had to do a saxophone solo. So
wow, you were a saxophonist?
Yeah. So
oh my
I played,
God.
I learned to play saxophone in middle school at Palms Middle School.
Wow.
On the west side, and I got to high school and I auditioned. Here, I learned how to play the saxophone on the tenor saxophone, which is in B flat. And the baritone saxophone, which is bigger, it's got like a, like blah, blah, you know, kind of sound to it. And because I was a big guy, the teachers would completely body shame me and say, hey, we're going to make you play the big one. Because you're the only kid who can, who can hold it. Yeah. And then I got to high school and I was like, I don't want to play the big ass saxophone no more. That was social murder in middle school.
Yeah.
Having to carry around that big ass case with all my. And when we were in middle school too, I know this is about high school, but this is the.
It all informs the other.
Yes. So in middle school, the style was we all were kind of trying to fit into where who we wanted to be. And a lot of kids in my neighborhood, that's when they turned to, like, gang culture. And we were kind of, you know, big dickies, huge T-shirts, Chucks with the fat laces. But then when, like, an older gangbanger would be like, what's up, man? Like, you'd be like, oh, I don't. Like, you get immediately
you'd
get
immediately
scared.
Fall back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we were walking around like we were, like, big deal. And but also, my thugging was never real because I had a big-ass baritone saxophone. And so it didn't quite, you know, meet up. So when I got to high school, I was like, I'm going to play the alto saxophone. That one's an E flat. But the same fingerings and everything. And it's a smaller case. And I get there and I audition. And the teacher goes, that was good. But I'm going to be honest with you. We have a lot of alto players that are better than you. So if you want to get into this program, there's one thing you can do. I thought he was going to start unbuttoning his shirt or something. he made me play the baritone.
No.
Yeah.
So that baritone sax was like your scarlet letter.
Yeah, I had to play it.
Oh, God.
And my mom, who made me play the saxophone, was like, why are you playing that big bear? I was like, you made me do this. They're making me do this. I don't want to do this at all. But yeah, but I found my, once I got to high school, I was able to also audition into the electronic music program, which the requirement for that was a certain level of piano playing. And I had been playing the piano since I was like 8.
Wow.
And so
I had no idea you have this like musical past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My mom got me into that stuff when I was a kid.
Cool.
And, I rebelled against it as much as I could. Did not practice. Watched my peers just get so much better than me because
so
I was like, I don't want to do this.
You got into the school and you were immediately like, fuck this. I don't want to play the saxophone, but I will play the saxophone because it's like why I tested into this.
Yeah, I had to. Yeah, I was in jazz band and my freshman year I was in jazz C band. There's C band, B band, and A band. And A band at Hamilton is like, there were people in that class. Like, I think my freshman year, the A band drummer is now the drummer for Haim.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And there was like so many other people like that were huge that have gone on to be
like
big
very
time
successful
yeah
musicians.
Yeah big time musicians.
Wow. So you're in school, you're playing saxophone, but you're also in the electronic music division.
So the first level of electronic music is called music tech, and it's where it's literally just when you walk into the class, all you see is like computers with keyboards in front of them. And so my freshman year was September 2003.
Right.
So the the stuff we were using back then is like obsolete now, which is crazy. When I got homies now that like make beats and stuff like that, I'm like, I don't know how to use any of this, but I learned on stuff that's like completely obsolete now.
Right.
But when you get in there, you're like, oh, I can't wait, man, I'm finna make this beat. I'm finna do, and the teacher's like, no, we have to learn about the art of recording.
Oh my God.
And the art of electronic music and where it started and where it comes from. And so like the first level, the first semester, my freshman year was all just, you know, book learning. Like taking tests and stuff on recording, and it was really cool. Now I'm happy that I have that knowledge.
Right.
But that was kind of like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to slowly ease myself out of band because I don't want to be in the band.
Right.
And I'm going to just focus on this and focus on electronic music. And my mom will still be satisfied because I'm still doing something with music.
Is your mom a musician?
No, my mom's an actor. So I'm from Mississippi originally. We moved out here when I was a kid.
Right.
And she moved out here to do acting stuff. But she always had this weird idea that now when I think about back on it, she goes, if you're a musician, you could just like pick up a gig on the weekends and make some money. I was like, I was like, that can't be true. And now that I'm an adult, I go, I know that's not true. Because I have friends who are great musicians who have to work at the bank.
I say this all the time, though, like, plight of a musician, I think, of all of the arts, if you rank like the impossibility levels of everything, it's like us, and then they're right.
They're
right below.
The one thing that saves us as actors and comedians and stuff like that is we have a union.
Yeah.
They don't have a union.
No, they don't have a union.
Even if you make it, you're just being exploited.
And also, we have the kind of cool thing where it's like, oh, my friend's writing for this show, and my friend's doing that, and like all these broader pockets of opportunity.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're a musician, you're kind of just like, yeah, my band is randomly down one like percussionist. Can you fill in?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, the opportunity is just not there.
It's not there. It's not there.
And my heart hurts for friends of mine that are like incredible singer-songwriters or amazing composers or whatever. And I'm just like, I do not know how on earth you fucking make it as a musician out.
Yeah.
TikTok, I guess, is kind of the only way.
Yeah, yeah. They're getting some resurgence on that. They're getting some love on TikTok.
I guess that's it. Because, like, SoundCloud, I think, is, like, dead.
Yeah, you can't. That era. And it's also crazy how short that era was.
I know.
Like, a good 5 years, 4 or 5 years.
That's so bizarre.
I got friends who produce really dope music. And they're just like, oh, well, I do this in hopes that somebody will eventually hear it.
It's so fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So when did you get out of band? And since you went to this high school, was being in band, like, affecting your social life? What was the social structure? Were there cliques? Like,
yes.
How did that work?
So there was cliques. There was this area that they call Disneyland, and it got the name Disneyland. Stupid kids in the to early 2000s. Disneyland was where all the Music Academy kids hung out, but that's also because a lot of the Music Academy kids, like, there was a small like majority of Music Academy kids who were gay, and so they called that Disneyland because it's like, that's all those people who hang out over there are gay.
Look, I came dressed for the occasion.
Yes, yeah. And Magic Mountain was where our school was also 44% Latino.
Mm-hmm.
So they called that Magic Mountain. And I'm like, it was like all over the place. But I was able, because I was also an athlete. So I was able to.
Didn't you also play football?
Football, basketball, baseball, track.
Wow.
I played a season.
You
of
were like so busy in high school.
Yeah, I was never home. I was never home before 8 o'clock. At night.
So, I mean, and your school was also so big. Like, what were the clique structures like? It was just like pockets of where people would hang out?
Yeah, it was just where people hung out. So it was pretty segregated in ways too. I don't think that it wasn't like no hate going on. It wasn't like higher learning, but it was pretty segregated. So like the kids I hung out with were like the Black Music Academy kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of us had grown up together in a way, kind of.
Yeah.
And, you know, took piano lessons at the same place, or all these people who took dance class at Debbie Allen Dance Academy or something like that. They all kind of came together, and we all just kind of became friends when we met each other, went to similar middle schools or whatever.
Right.
And so we all kind of kicked with each other. And in that group, there were like, you know, the rap cypher groups where every lunch, you know, you go to this area, you grab your lunch and you run over, and now you're about to see
it
the best rappers.
It sounds like a movie.
Yeah, it was really like, it was like Fame.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was dope. The girls are like dancing and stuff. I got friends who dance for like Beyonce now. Literally two of my friends dance for Beyonce.
Oh my God.
I see them on like this you know, whenever she does big performances, like, you see them right there.
So, like I think ciphers have become more, like, public knowledge because of, like, Megan Thee Stallion.
Mm-hmm.
Because she talks about how, like, that's how she came up.
Yeah.
But, like, seeing that happen at your high school sounds so cool to me.
Yeah, it was dope. And a couple of those guys went on to have, like, you know, kind of hits.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like they're not, like, a lot of them aren't doing much now. But,
right.
like, a couple of them had, like, got radio spots, especially in the early days of uploading music to the internet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A couple guys, like, you know, got on a couple mixtapes, like, best out of L.A. right now. And, like,
so crazy.
Yeah.
Were you an anomaly, being that you were in the arts, like, in the music school and also playing all these sports?
Kind of. The music kids did not think that that was tight. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They were not like, oh, he's a cool jock. They were
right.
like, we're doing the cool shit over here.
Right.
And also, our sports teams, my first 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year, we were known in the city as, like, not being good at sports. Everybody, when you would hear, you'd say, oh, man, like, you'd be, like, playing at a park or something like that. And they go, oh, what school you play at? And I go, oh, I play for Hamilton. And they go, oh, man, ain't everybody over there just singing and dancing? Like, that's what they're.
And you're like, yes.
Yeah, yeah, that is, there is that. But we got, you know, we finna come up. And then my junior and senior year, we did.
We were good.
We were better. We were better.
Did you have cheerleaders and stuff?
Yeah, and they were the best cheerleaders in the city.
I was going to say.
Real dancers.
Yeah, they probably, like smoked out everyone else.
Oh, my gosh. That was the show. People didn't come to watch us play sports.
They bring it on.
Yeah,
they just
yeah.
Bring it on.
They wanted to see how the roasts would be between. And they always call, if you went to Hamilton, you knew, like, when you would meet people, like, if we would go to, like, teen clubs and stuff like that, and you say, oh, I go to Hamilton. Oh, man, everybody bougie over there. All the dudes would be like, man, Hamilton got the finest girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then other people, man, that's bougie Hamilton kids. Like, they think they better than everybody. And it is kind of an interesting dynamic, because I think a lot of the kids that I went to school with, we were black, but we were, like, kind of middle class black. In the Ladera Heights, Windsor Hills, Baldwin Hills area, mm-hmm. View Park. A lot of my friends are from those areas where they come from two parent households, and they were able to be in these programs at early ages.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, their parents put them in dance and
right.
music classes when they were kids. So by the time they got to Hamilton, they were, like, pretty good. And mm-hmm. then that just took them to the next level. So there was a bit of bouginess from
right.
those schools, like, from our school for sure. And there was, like, we used to get into fights. We used to get jumped and stuff like that, like,
oh
over being from Hamilton, because people, you know, people were intimidated. Not intimidated, but, like, you know, like, they were like, man, they think they,
right.
they think they tight from Hamilton.
I do want to go back to something that you said very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Teen clubs.
Oh, yeah.
You would hit the teen clubs.
Yeah, we would be at the teen clubs. We had Excess, which was sex spelled backwards, EXS. We had Access, which is another thing.
Wait, Excess and Access were two different ones?
Yeah, there was CineSpace, which is on Hollywood Boulevard. We would go there. That was 18 and under or whatever, like 18.
What was the teen club vibe like?
Lit.
Were you guys getting fucked up?
No. There was no alcohol being sold, unless people were pregame in their
did
car.
Did you drink?
I did not drink until I got to college.
Wow.
Yeah, I did not drink until I got to college.
Did
Even
you smoke weed or anything?
Nothing. I was a good kid. Only thing I did to piss my mom off was get really bad grades.
I was just about to ask, were you a good student?
Hell no.
Yeah, I
was. I did not do my homework.
I know.
Fuck a homework. I'm going home and getting
relaxing.
On AIM and MySpace.
Yeah, I'm hitting up AIM and MySpace.
And listening to music, just downloading music
yeah.
constantly.
Getting viruses on the computer
yeah.
all the
so
time.
So the summer going to my junior, like the late sophomore, early junior year era, I got a scholarship to produce music by this guy named Jack Elliott. Shout out to him. No, Alan Elliott was his name. His dad's name was Jack Elliott. And it was the Jack Elliott Scholarship. And they gave, like, 30 students who wrote an essay a iBook G4.
Wow.
And an Oxygen 8 MIDI keyboard.
Oh, my God.
We had to produce an album by the end of the year.
An album?
Yeah. We had to produce an album by the end of the year.
Like, what does an album entail? How many tracks?
Like 8 to 12 songs. With different, like, different genres. This was our music, our electronic music final every year, too, by the way. We had to produce at least an 8-song album, and one song had to be classical genre, one song had to be avant-garde genre, one song
oh
had
God.
To be, like, jazz, one song had to be modern, and then you could put four other songs that you wanted.
Right.
Just whatever you worked on. But the teacher had some very specific like, it's not, he was not a racist man. I'm not going to say that. He definitely was like, I don't want albums full of beats.
Right. Sure.
It was like, you're saying this to a specific group of kids in this class.
You're
like,
saying this to a very specific class.
Yeah. And it's like, that's still music, sir.
Yeah. It's not targeted.
Yeah. Don't bring me an album full of beats. I want music. We want music. I don't want beats. And it's like, well, beats are music.
Are music.
And,
yeah.
You know, if done well, can be, you know.
Incredible.
Yeah. One of the people in my class, the best person in my class, is this artist by the name of Tiffany Goucher, who is now having what is it called? She's coming up in the R&B world right now. And she's great. Everybody go check out her music, Tiffany Goucher.
Shout out Tiffany Goucher.
Yeah, her cousins are D Smoke and Sir,
whoa,
who are also coming up in the rap game and R&B game. That's a super talented, that Goucher family.
I was going to say, it sounds very talented.
They're a very talented family. She was the best in our class. So her beats were always so symphonic and like, oh, and we'd all be like, yeah, we can't do this. She's awesome. But I'm happy that she's like getting on right now. She did the Tonight Show.
Wow,
it's great. It's really cool.
How were your beats?
Not good because I did not practice.
Right.
I wanted to play sports. So once I got over the excitement of being in the electronic music class,
right,
I was like, I'm over it. I just don't think I want to do music.
Right.
Because I think my mom, it was a rebellious thing. Because now I love music, and I listen to music in a different type of way. I'm a DJ.
Yeah.
But I just was like, I just want to play sports,
right,
and hang out with my friends and be on AIM and make funny away messages.
What was your AIM name?
I didn't have like a crazy AIM name.
What was it?
I can't tell you because I still use the email.
Oh, okay.
I can't tell you on air. But
off air.
Yeah.
Mine was my name backwards. It was Aterg 19.
That's tight.
It wasn't sexy. I wish that I had, like, you know, the flirty girls would always have like Angel Baby, like,
yeah, XX in the front.
Yeah.
Lowercase, uppercase. Yeah.
This symbol, whatever that symbol is.
Yeah.
Like asterisk swirly, like Angel Baby, like no vowels.
Yeah.
I wish I had something like that, but mine was really dumb. My sister's was Funky 5432, which I just think is very funny. Because it's like Funky 5432. She's slightly older than us, though, so I think that was more like nodding toward the
AOL type.
It was like the, remember like, what, like Delight, like that band, like that kind of 90s
Groove
resurgence
is in the heart,
of
type,
like, being like funky and like flip out hair.
Yeah.
It was more like hat tip to that.
Yeah.
But man, it would go down on AIM.
Yeah, it would go down. It would go down on those MySpace bulletins.
What was your MySpace
bulletins
like vibe? Did you have a top seven? Was that it? Top seven?
Top eight.
Top eight.
Top eight. And I had all my homies, but my number one in my top eight was my homegirl from middle school, who we weren't even like super, super close in high school, but we were always just really good friends. And I never took her out of, she was a safe number one.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ivana. She's the homie. we still chat now. But she was always my number one. And people would always be like, who is that? Who is number one in your top? And I'm like, don't worry about it. You could be number two. She's going to stay there. Because it was always like,
no, the power ranking was real.
Yeah.
And people took it personally.
Oh, my homies that I didn't go to high school with, like homies that I had went to elementary school with and was friends, they weren't in my top eight. And they were upset about
it. Of course they were.
But then they went to top 16 and I added them into that. They were mad. They were like, why are we ain't in your top? Like, come on. We've known you since you moved out here. We was your first friends when you got off the bus with that stupid ass accent.
Oh, because you had a little Southern accent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you have any quotes on your MySpace page?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, as?
Quoting like Rick Ross. And I quoted Rick Ross in my high school yearbook, too.
Same.
Hard work pays off. Like, that was a quote from a Rick Ross song that I put in there. And I wore number 88 in football.
Uh-huh.
And so I had like all the NFL 88s pictures like embedded.
That's great.
And I wore 33 in basketball. So I had a bunch of 33s.
Who were other 33s and 88s?
Like at the time, it was like Tony Gonzalez was 88. Marvin Harrison was a receiver that was playing that was 88. And then like 33 is like a popular number in the league. So
you really like were in high school and you were like, I don't want to pursue the arts. You were like, I want to be sport guy.
Yeah, I want to be sport guy. But what I really was doing was being funny guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted
were
to
you
be
class clown.
I was.
Would you get in trouble?
No, not by my teachers, because they all knew that I was a smart kid.
Right.
I would get in mad trouble by the subs. They was like teachers
the
would leave notes.
Low key are the narcs.
Yeah.
And that's something we don't talk about enough.
Yeah. Because they don't have time for that shit.
And they don't know the dynamics of the room.
Yeah.
So all that they can do is like, I will say I do feel bad for substitute teachers because it's so hard to just be like thrown into a gauntlet of teens who are crazy.
Yeah.
And to then like navigate whatever is going on. They have no idea. Like your real teachers know all the tea.
Yeah.
They know who's dating who hates who's doing well, who's doing bad. Like they know everything that's going on. The subs, they don't have time for anyone.
No. And they would like, we would also, don't let us get like a young, cute sub.
No.
It's over for you, sis. I'm like,
you can't be having hot subs.
Oh, man. One time we got a sub, like, I'll never forget this. She looked like you. And she was like, my name is Michelle. You guys can call me Michelle. I said, oh, it's over, Michelle. We finna be all up in your face all day long.
What did you do to her?
We just was trying to hit on her the whole time, flirting with her. It was probably like, she probably was so uncomfortable. Like, shout out to you, Michelle. If you're still teaching school.
No, that was her last day.
That had to be, like, we were just, and the jokes were just flying, and, like, and don't let her laugh. Oh, when she laughed, oh, it was like, we got her. Man, I'm finna get her number. Like, ain't nobody getting Michelle's number. But when she told us to call her Michelle.
She said, call me Michelle.
She was like, you can call me Michelle. She probably had to be 23.
Oh, my God.
22, 23 years old.
Substitute teachers have to be ugly.
They got to be.
It's just
the only way you get respect. We had a sub that was sub for us a lot named Mr. English, and he's a black dude. And he's like, "No, I ain't having it." I know you. I know. He would like point to like you, sir. I ain't having it. Not today. It ain't gonna be happening today. Whatever you got up your sleeve. As soon as I walk in the classroom, go, Mr. English, and we liked him. He goes, I ain't having it. And we never,
that would be me as a teacher.
Yeah.
I would walk in and I would, because you need to assert power up top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we ended up respecting him because he literally was like at our school all the time. And
right.
I think one teacher, he was in middle school too. So when we got to high school, and he came over and I was like, oh, Mr. English, from that. Not today. Not today. Mr. English. Shout out to that dude, too, man. I hope he's doing well as well.
All of my best teachers in high school were ugly.
Yeah. There
were some hot English teachers at my high school. No one could. I mean, we took them seriously, but, like, I don't know. They were just, like, young teachers with. I remember I had a science teacher in middle school who was 21 years old.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to take this 21-year-old seriously?
Yeah.
Like, you need to be over the age of 60.
But you didn't feel like, because I know that I had young teachers in middle school. I also had a science teacher who was young. She was like a young, nerdy lady. And she was like hot to us.
Mm-hmm.
But then like she would like play with rats and shit.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, ugh. She'd be like holding guinea pigs and stuff. It's like, she not hot no more.
By the way, what I mean to say by quote unquote ugly is old.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean.
And yeah. I don't mean to say old people are hot. Jane Fonda would fuck. Denzel would fuck. Like, old people are hot.
Mm-hmm.
I just mean that when you're in your teen brain,
yeah,
you need to see an older person in order to be like, okay, I have to take them seriously because they remind me of my grandma.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Yeah, you're not trying to kiki with the old teacher.
No, exactly.
And they're usually not having it.
They're not having it. But, and they will make that clear that they're not having it. Did you have a girlfriend in high school?
Later in high school.
Was it serious?
Well, so, okay, I'll tell you the girlfriend story. So, I kind of had like a couple girlfriends, but they were all very short-lived.
Mm-hmm.
And then like my senior year, I was in a situationship with a woman the whole time, where we were not together. Mm-hmm. We were not officially together, but we would fraternize after games and things like that. And I was basically like tied to her. Mm-hmm. Like anytime I tried to talk to another girl, the girls be like, uh-uh, because you her man. Mm. I don't even go with her. I don't even. And I would be mad. I was shitty for that. That's what we will make amends for. Like I was probably.
We can get to that shortly. Yeah, yeah. Why would you not lock it down?
I don't know what it was. I think I had. You know what I think it was? I think I had reached a level of confidence that I had never had in my life at that point. Junior and senior year, I had lost a ton of weight, and I was like in elementary school, I was. Little kind of butterball, but I was still athletic. Mm-hmm. Like I still played a lot of sports and stuff, but I was chubby, you know.
Yeah.
Eating snacks, going home making jelly sandwiches, no peanut butter.
I love the term butterball.
Yeah, yeah, that was me in elementary school. But I was tall, so I've always been tall. Mm-hmm. So I was
tall. You are
kid,
very
but,
tall.
Yeah.
How tall are you?
6'3".
That's very tall.
But I would go to, you know, when I got to middle school. The funniness kicked up a notch because that's the hardest years. And you're getting roasted. And my mom didn't have – I went to school on the west side, but we lived in South Central. Mm-hmm. We didn't have money like that. My mom wanted a better, you know, school situation for me. And she did her best. And she didn't have money to be having me in the coolest, dopest clothes. I didn't have new Jordans every week like some of my friends did. Also, my foot grew to a size 14 when I was 14 years old.
Whoa.
So my mom could not be like – buying me new shoes all the time. Right. Like it was like you get one pair of shoes a year.
And that's it.
And that's it. And in my eighth grade year, I remember she finally like this pair of shoes here that I have on right now, Air Force One.
Yeah.
It was really popular. I'm sure you remember.
Yep. I had like, a pair.
Yeah, the mids though, remember with the strap.
Of course.
Yes.
Mine were white and with the purple swoosh and a purple little strap.
Let's go. Yeah.
They were cute. I wish I still had them.
Yeah, you probably still can find them. You can still get, they're having a resurgence. Air Forces right now are back in. People like to wear them real beat up. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of that.
No, you got to keep them clean.
Not a fan of the... Now, let me... Do you have Air Force Ones or do you wear them? Because you look like the type.
Yeah, I do have them and I keep them clean.
Okay, thank you so much.
Well, let's take a little break and then get back into the Air Force One debate. We're going to take a little break for an ad.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back.
Woo.
I agree. I like a crisp white sneaker.
Mm-hmm.
That is my aesthetic preference. I would like my sneakers to look as if I've never worn them.
Yes.
Because, you know, who walks?
Who walks? Who wants to walk?
Who wants to walk?
You got. Once they start, this pair right here, these are done.
Those are done.
Like these are done. These are getting donated to Selah. And they're done.
It's crazy because they do look unworn.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at these and I'm like, oh yeah, y'all done. I might try to OxiClean the shoestrings.
It's all about that OxiClean.
Yeah, one time.
Shout out to Selah, great organization.
Yeah,
in LA.
Yeah.
We love. Okay, so you lost a bunch of weight your junior and senior year.
Yes, that summer going to junior year football practice, that slimmed me down.
How much weight are we talking?
I also had a growth spurt.
Okay.
So I probably went into high school at like 5'11", 5'10", 5'11", like 215, 220, which is pretty stocky.
Yeah.
And.
Is it? I have no idea.
Yeah. It's like, Yeah, I don't know how to explain it, yeah. But it's you could tell, like, oh, that's a big kid.
That's a big boy.
And I ain't got no muscle tone. I'm coming out of middle school.
Sure.
I ain't got no muscle tone. I'm just kind of like,
yeah,
frumpy.
Yeah.
You know? And then when I got to my junior, that summer, going into my junior year, we're practicing football every, I'm in summer school as well. Summer school was lit. We got to talk about summer.
Let's talk about summer school.
But we're doing summer school from 8 to 12, and then it's from 1 to 6 just running football.
God.
And so I grew from like 6 feet, 220, 215, 220, to like what I am now, 6'2", 6'3", like 170.
Whoa.
I lost like 50 pounds.
Huge drop.
I was thin to where people were like, what's going on?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Were you like cut too?
Not really.
You were just thin.
Kind of just thin. Like it was because I still kind of had like, there was no like flab because I didn't lose weight in a way that like, you know, I didn't get like a, you know, I didn't lose weight in like, I'm trying to lose weight.
Right, right, right.
It kind of fell. It was like baby weight.
Right. It just like fell off.
Yeah. I got a little bit more cut my senior year. But that junior year, I was like skinny. But I had never been skinny in my life.
So that's what made your cockiness go
up
a notch.
Yeah. Because now I'm like the funniest kid in school. I'm popular in this big ass school.
Right.
I'm on varsity.
Yeah.
On all the sports. I'm doing well. I'm still doing music stuff. So I still got my music academy friends. And those are like the cutest girls in school.
Yeah.
The dancers and the drama girls. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. And it's just like, it's rolling.
You were very lucky.
Yeah.
You had your hand in
both
power
worlds.
Pots,
yeah.
One might say.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And then with a name like Carl Tart.
And
I mean,
everybody said it. Everybody said the full name.
You have to.
Yeah. Everybody said the full name. So people knew who I was. And the fact that I could bounce around to every social group. So that year, girlfriends.
Yeah.
That year, I started talking to a girl, and I really liked this girl that was in my music classes with me, and we had a falling out because during winter break, she had come over to my house.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened between us. Nothing happened.
Tension?
Yeah, maybe a little. Like, we were, like, fraternizing in the front yard because my mom was out of town. That's why I told her to come over.
Mm-hmm.
But my aunt was in the house, like, sleep. Because I got a little brother. He's 10 years younger than me. So if I'm...
If you're
15,
17
he's five.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
And
child.
So, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And I wasn't allowed to babysit him. Like, I wanted the responsibility. I was like, let me watch him. I can watch him.
Yeah.
And
they were like, no.
Because I walked him to school every day and everything. You know,
right.
I was responsible for him in a lot of ways. My mom, you know, I helped my mom quite a bit with him. But my mom's like, no, like, your auntie's going to stay here.
Yeah.
Like, but she was inside sleep. So I was like, come over. Like, and so she came over and her friend, like, dropped her off. And then her friend, like, walked away or something. Like, she was with like some dude. They all like, you know how traveled
in. Yeah, you'd like travel in a little pack and you'd like disperse.
Yeah.
And, like, do your thing.
Yeah.
Person, and then you come back together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like nothing. We just kind of like sat like cuddled up outside against the car.
Wow. Isn't it so crazy to think of like a time when intimacy was truly just like cuddling and holding each other?
That was it.
Like, holding hands or something like that.
Yeah.
In many ways, like, that does feel more intimate to me now than fucking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because if we talk about coming over to somebody's house now at midnight, you know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. And what, like, if someone was like, I just want to cuddle? I'd be like,
like, I'm going the fuck to sleep.
Okay.
Like, you have every right to deny me.
Yeah.
I will not at all fight you on this, but I am going to sleep. So she like came over and we just kind of like cuddled up a little bit. I don't even think we like really kissed. It was like a little like peckish type, because we both were like very innocent. And I was not like a person who would like make any type of moves.
Mm-hmm.
And she was not that either. So it was very innocent. I told my friend that this happened and he ran with the story, and somehow it turned into we had sex. Mm-hmm. That I was saying that, and I never said that. I got really upset with him, and he thought it was so funny. This girl stopped talking to me. So for like the second semester of her senior year, my junior year, we were not on speaking terms.
Ugh.
And I liked her since like ninth grade, and she knew it.
No.
Yeah. And she was a sophomore when I was a freshman. She was in concert band with me. And she was a clarinet player.
Oh, clarinet. Yeah. Clarinet was hot.
Yeah. And I liked her. And she stopped talking to me. Like, literally, that was... It's crazy to think the problems that we go through now.
Sure.
Because back then, I was... Oh, I was devastated.
Of course.
Yeah, like, I couldn't
believe. That's the love of your life.
Yeah, and I'm trying to, like, message her on MySpace, like, sending long, like, I swear to you, I didn't say this. And I would never say this. I would, because I was not that type of guy. I would never go and lie on some shit like that.
And she never responded? She literally just, like, iced
left me on red. She sent one long message, like, and then that was it. And so we'd have to walk by each other, and it was like we didn't know each other. Ships passing in the night, and it was hard. But I had to recover. I couldn't let the fellas know I was sad.
No.
So then I started talking to a girl on the track team.
Okay.
And she, this shit is crazy, man. And because this, so we were on a track team. I didn't really know her like that, but I would see her around. I always thought she was cute.
Yeah.
And then one day after track practice, I'm on the bus and she gets on the same bus, and we don't say a word to each other. This is the Santa Monica Big Blue bus. Shout out to the 12. And we're taking the bus home. She gets off one stop before me. And we didn't say nothing to each other on the bus. We didn't say nothing to each other at track practice. So I go into the house, find her on MySpace, send her friend request, and slide in the DMs. First DM slide of my life. 2006.
Wow, legendary. Yeah.
2005. This is 2005. And, or maybe it's early 2006.
Okay.
So second semester of my junior year.
Yeah.
And sliding her DMs, and then we kind of chatting the DMs a little bit, and then her homegirl hits me up, like, what's up, you like my friend?
Love that.
Like, I mean, yeah, kind of like, yeah, she cute, like, and she lives in my neighborhood, and then... The next day, do not talk.
At all?
Do not talk all day. Don't talk at track practice. We also do different events. I was a shot putter and a high jumper, and she ran, like, you know, did, like, you know, 4x1 or something like that. And that night, we sit next to each other on the bus. I'm like, Carl, grow a pair.
Yeah.
Go sit next to
her. Who sat first?
She sat first.
And then you
and I sat. I was not sitting near her, and then I got up and was like, what's up? And then she's like, what's up? and then we started talking after that, and that was my first, like, that was my first kind of like hookup experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is romance.
But here's the crazy part. It's crazy. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I hopefully they don't listen to this, but I'm not saying anybody's name. We're like hooking up. We're meeting up.
Yeah.
Like, somewhere in our neighborhood.
And so, wait, at this point, are you having sex? When we say hook up, we know we're just fooling around.
Just fooling around. Okay. Just fooling around, little hand stuff, mm-hmm. And making out.
Okay.
And not having sex. But we were, like, having these rendezvous. Mm-hmm. But she's, like, she's also the first girl that ever came to my house while my mom was not home when I was in high school. And we got to fool around. But then she had to, like, rush home. Like,
right.
Her dad was, like, blowing her LG chocolate up.
I had an LG white chocolate,
yeah.
So you know.
Yeah, she had to run home, but she was like, "We can have sex after a month, but you gotta kick it with me at nutrition and lunch every day. Like, kick it with me and my friends, and be my public, open boyfriend." And then after a month, and I was like, "I can't do it." I turned it down.
I
was like,
sex.
A month? I have to kick it over there for a month with the fellas.
No.
We got shit to talk about. I'm with the fellas. Come on, man. I can't leave the fellas for a month. Dude, that's social murder. You telling me y'all don't have to sit at y'all's table?
Okay.
And they were like not that cool in their senior class. We were all friends, mm-hmm. but they were like not. And they sat at this table, and they were ugly. So when we, like, walk by, they'd be like, ooh, hey, that's your boyfriend.
I cannot believe.
I couldn't even do the month.
You turned a high school student, a horny, I assume, mm-hmm. high school boy.
I was, yes. Because now that I am experiencing, like, oh, that, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Like, now I'm, like, figuring out, I could not do the month. And I still go back and go, damn, should have did the month.
No, I appreciate that you didn't do a month. Because in high school time, A month?
A month. I mean, we don't have much time here.
We don't have months.
Like, we don't have, I don't have months to be kicking it with you and your friends. I'm not friends like that with them.
3 days.
I'll come over to you. I will check in.
Yeah.
I'll check in at your table. I'll give you a public kiss, which was, that's already pushing it.
No, kissing it. My high school had a disgusting amount of PDA.
Yeah.
You know those weird couples that would, like, be on the floor, like, making out and holding each other in school.
Yeah.
I would be like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? We were not, Deans would be walking around being like, get that shit out of here.
Yeah. It's so fucking crazy. Yeah.
Now.
Oh my God. Is that a knock at the door that I hear? Are we in the school guidance counselor's office?
Oh my
Why, yes, we are. And I am your school guidance counselor. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing about me as a school guidance counselor is, you just have to talk about something that's, like, bothering you or whatever it is, and you talk about it once, and then you're cured. That's how therapy works here in my here in my counselor's office. And then when you're done, you get a Jolly Rancher.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And a treat at the end. So you can use this time, you know, to do whatever you want to do to rectify something from high school that's bothering you to this day.
I want to tell this woman that I'm sorry for not being patient enough for a month. To have sex. That would have been great. But I, alas, loved my homies too much and did not want to be seen as a person with, you know, and also, no, let me take this back. I apologize for not wifing up senior year.
Mm-hmm.
Boo. I'm not going to use her name either. She knows who she is.
Yeah.
She might even listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to apologize publicly
to her.
For not wifing it up.
Yeah. Because I was like, why did you not lock it down?
I didn't lock it down. I was out here in these play-in streets.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was, and also, keep in mind, no other girls were messing with me at this point. Like, but for some reason, I needed that freedom.
And in hindsight.
Yeah.
Probably the right thing.
Yeah.
But in the moment, I don't know.
Yeah. In the moment, yeah.
You also can't help as the, I would imagine her in that situation was probably like, oh, there's something wrong with me.
Probably.
Because when you're a teen girl and someone's rejected, well, one girl rejecting, you're offering sex, which is like at the time, the highest valuable token
it is,
of like.
It, that is 5 Bitcoins.
It's at pure that point. Gold,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And you say no, and she's like, oh, fuck, something has to be wrong with me if I'm getting rejected by, like, a fucking 17-year-old.
And I was younger than her, by the way. She was a senior. I was a junior. So she probably was really like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You can't wait a month? And I was like, no, me and the fellas got to chat at lunch.
And then the other girl... who you were, like, in an emotional relationship with for all of senior
all
year.
Senior year, yeah.
Did you have sex in high school?
One time.
With her,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, and you never locked it down.
Never locked it down. And that was the time, I hope my mom's not hearing this. that timeline was probably, like, we had, so it was, like, a plan. Here's some crazy shit. She's not the same race as me. And we were not allowed to be prom dates because she said her brother would have been upset by it.
Oh my God.
Because I was black. Kind of sad, but we still were like, but we're going to kick it after prom. I went with a girl who I was not into. She went with a guy she was not into.
Well, this is great because I always ask my guests, what did you wear to prom and who was your date? So
okay.
This is immediately answering a question.
Yes. So I wore a black pinstriped suit with burgundy accents.
Sick. What color was the shirt?
The shirt was gray.
Beautiful.
The shirt was like silver.
Love.
Silver grayish shirt with a burgundy
tie.
Red wine tie, Merlot.
Mm.
And the suit was black with white pinstripes. I wanted to look like LeBron.
He had a suit
like that. And I did. I told my mom, I was like, we went downtown. We got a $99 suit. And I was like, Ma, I just want to rent a tux. And she was like, renting a tux is like $300-something. I'm going to buy you a suit so you can take it with you to college.
Yep.
And yeah. So the suit that I, you know, wore to prom was a suit. It wasn't
beautiful.
And I took my date. I waited too late to ask everybody. And the date that I took to prom. Also, there's another thing I need to talk to the guidance counselor about. I was making bad decisions in high school. I took a date with me, and the woman that I asked was the all the senior superlatives mm-hmm. were a male and a female.
Yes.
And we had known our superlatives at that point. I was voted class clown, and I took with me the woman who was voted class clown because I thought it'd be funny.
Right.
And she
two
was
clowns going
yes,
to prom together.
And she was my friend. Turns out what I learned a little bit later was that she liked me.
Mm.
I did not know that. I was kind of a dick that night to her. Mm. That she still remembers. She brings it up sometimes now. She's like married with like children now. But she will bring it up. Remember you were a dick to me on prom night? I go, I feel really bad about that. I wish you wouldn't.
A casual ribbing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it wasn't like a dick. It was just like I kind of like let it be known that I was like, all right, well, yeah, this is we finna take these pictures and then I'm
and then I'm out because I'm going to the girl.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm also finna dance with like all the girls.
Sure.
But like it was like she was like, oh.
I think my as your guidance counselor.
I'd like to apologize to her too.
I think that all of these apologies are valid. Mm-hmm. You can release them. You were what sounds like a very sociable young chap.
Yeah.
Just wanting to be funny guy, wanting to be loved, wanting to be adored by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And those things happen. You know, I think that you could have been, look, I went to high school with people that were way bigger dicks than that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was not a dick. I was not a bully.
No.
Everybody, I was cool with everybody.
You were just like, hey, I have other things that I want to do.
Yeah.
That maybe don't involve you.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
but like, I got to go and do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
I still think it's really, so what ended up happening with the girl that you couldn't go to prom with who you wanted to go to prom with?
We had hooked up both of our first times like 2 months before prom.
Okay.
And we did not hook up night of prom, but we hung out that night.
Mm.
And because we were with a big group.
Mm-hmm.
And we got like a hotel room at this hotel on Wilshire that was probably gross. And it was like 12 of us in this room and we were all piled up in there after prom and stuff. And then after high school, we dated.
Okay.
But it did not last long. And yeah, we didn't talk for a really long time. And she popped up in my people you may know on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like this is probably 5 years ago. And
yeah.
Sent her for a friend request and she responded and she like, you know, engages.
Nice.
So hopefully she's not mad at me anymore.
Kind of a nice ending
to
the saga.
Yeah, yeah.
If you could go back in time and give your high school self any advice, what would it be?
Stop caring so much about what people think. And
classic.
Learn that then. So it won't be bothering you now at 33.
Yep.
Like,
I feel you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You know, you already answered it for me, but what was your senior superlative?
Class clown.
Did people vote on them?
They voted on them. And also, I came in. This is a very funny thing. So I told you earlier that all the Music Academy kids, I was like the only athlete that they
mm-hmm,
knew.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came in like second or third for most athletic. But the kids on the teams like knew I was a very average athlete. And they was like, what the fuck? Carl, man, hell no. Man, how you get up there? I said, because I'm popular.
Because you're popular.
And the white Music Academy kids was like, who plays on the basketball team? Oh, Carl.
And you know what? It's kind of a harsh lesson that we in entertainment sort of learn every day. Popularity ultimately does get you very far.
Yes.
A lot of the time, it doesn't mean you're the best.
Mm-hmm.
If you're popular, it holds power. And these are lessons that we learn in good old high school, unfortunately.
Class clown was rightfully mine.
Of course.
That was me.
100%.
But most being that close to winning most athletic was...
It was also you, though.
Kind of me. I mean, I was very athletic.
Didn't you go to college to
play
sports?
I did go to college to play sports.
So you had to be athletic.
Yeah, I was good. But there were, like, dudes who, like, went, like...
D1.
D1 and were like... I have a buddy who played in the NFL.
Sure.
So, and he...
And he didn't get most athletic.
He did not come even close. He did not come even close.
I would like to end this episode by asking you if you remember any songs you wrote in your time in high school.
Songs that I wrote. So I was just thinking about this the other day. It's so funny. I made a beat.
Yes.
To my buddy Reggie, who was the running back on the football team. He rapped a song called Too Serious. And I remember the hook. Because I was thinking about it the other day, and I was laughing my ass. Because my mom brought it up. She was like, remember that? I still got that CD. And I was like, it's too serious. How I Murder These Tracks. It's too serious. Something in the back. It's too serious. It's like when Michael Jackson was black. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I was in traffic dying. Because I could, but I made the beat. It was my beat.
What was it like?
It was pretty tight. It was like, bring, kung, kung, ka, bring, bring, ka, bring. That shit was hard. I was in my bag on that one.
I would like to hear a Tart beat.
My mom may still have the CD. A lot of that music was on the iBook G4. Rest in peace. Mm-hmm. My little brother running around the house. It was plugged into the charger because you know how Apple laptops back then and still not
today.
It had
to be plugged in.
It had to be plugged
into
the charger. And it was plugged into the charger on a wall and it stretched kind of across.
Yep.
And all he had to do was be looking, but he was 7.
Sure.
And he ran to it. No, he was 8 at this point. This was after high school. So he was like 8. And he ran into it, and he pulled it off, and it fell off a big ledge and cracked. And
bye,
so that computer is dead. All that iTunes library, all that music I downloaded off of LimeWire.
Remember all of that?
Man. Do you still remember? I know you're trying to wrap this up. Do you still?
I could talk about this all day, by the way. All day.
Do you still remember the, like, if you hear a song now that would be on one of your playlists back then?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what song would come next?
Yes. Like, yeah. I remember my album, like, my album orders on, like, mix CDs.
Yes.
I remember, I remember my boyfriend in high school, who was a year older than me, he was much more into, like, RJD2 and, like,
yes.
Rat-a-tat and, like, that vibe of music. Mm-hmm. And he made me a mix and it had this song called Pussy Liquor, which was an Aphex Twin remix of All You Ladies Pop Your Pussy, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was like a remix between these two songs. Mm-hmm. And it came into my mind and I listened to it the other day in my car because you can only find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I remembered that this song after that I like was recreating the CD in my car was like some like breathe me or something like that. I don't know. It was some other like by like not Marshmallow. Why am I blanking on this? Whatever. Point is, yes.
Yeah. That's fun. That's fun when you think about that.
Yeah. When you like go into those archived memories of music.
Like I heard the other day what came on. It might have been, you know what it was? It was the Walk It Out remix.
There we go.
Because I was listening to, I was just like revisiting Andre 3000.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's the best rapper ever. And it was when he had a verse on the Walk It Out remix. And I remembered what song would come on after that, which was Girl Shake That Booty Beat by Soulja Boy and
there
A-Rap.
We go.
And I was like, man, what song came after that? Like, and it was, I'm always been a big R&B head. And it was those days. Because you just put that iTunes on shuffle while you're sitting there typing away on AIM.
Oh, my God. There was also this song, Money Folder, by MF. It was like an MF Doom remix. Mm-hmm. Is this possible?
I don't know. I wasn't a fan of that type of music.
Well, I was a big fan of that type of music, but all of these were like mixes that were made for me by boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then now when I listen to this music, it's like so,
it
like, triggering.
Yeah. It takes you back.
Wow.
Oh
my God, Carl.
This is great.
What a treat to have you on. We should just have you come back on and talk all about music of the time.
We could.
That's really like a passion of mine from this time zone.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I'm down
for
that.
You and I are contemporaries.
Yeah.
So we can really get into it.
You from Connecticut?
No, I love that you do think that, though.
Where are you?
I'm from Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. I thought, did you go to college in Connecticut?
I went to boarding school in Connecticut.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
you told
and
me on the
my
show.
Husband is from Connecticut.
Okay.
So there are Connecticut ties. And I do look like I'm a Stepford wife from Connecticut
this picture
here.
Is great.
You know?
Love this picture.
Carl, where can everyone that listens to my podcast listen to your podcast, which I have been so lucky to be a guest on?
Yes, you can listen to XOXO Gossip Kings right here on HeadGum, wherever you get your podcast. This is a HeadGum podcast. That one is too. And Greta had a great episode. Please come and listen to the whole thing. We're rewatching. Me and my buddy Lamar Woods he's rewatching. I am watching for the first time. Gossip Girl. Greta did have a spoiler for me. First 5 minutes of her being in the room.
Yeah,
but I do not remember what it was.
Yeah, you don't remember.
I don't remember, so I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, you blocked it out.
I blocked it out because I really am invested in the show now.
Yeah.
And so please come and invest with us. It's very fun. We've had some great guests on. And also, you can listen to The Flagrant Ones, which is on Patreon, patreon.com/flagrant ones, if you like basketball or people who don't really talk about basketball. We just kind of bullshit for an hour.
I love that.
Yeah.